Okay, Rabbi Yisai. Today's daf is daf Nun Gimel. We're holding the top line of the Omer Tan Rabbanan. And we're continuing talking about the mitzvah of the Chafinas Haktoiris on Yom Kippur by the Kohen Gadol. So it says the Pasuk. Tan Rabbanan shteyt in the Brais of Venosan shteyt in Pasuk. Venosan is Haktoiris ala Eish lefnei Hashem. The Kohen Gadol has to go and take the Ktoiris and put it on the Gecholim lefnei Hashem inside the Kodesh Kodashim. That's what made it such a difficult avoider. He couldn't go and put the Torahs on top of the Gecholim outside the Kodesh Kodashim. He had to walk in with the Machta in the right hand, the fire pan full of coals. He had to go and carry the ladle full of Torahs in the left hand. Then he had to go and switch from the ladle into his two hands, and then take from the two hands and pour it onto the Gecholim.
And how he walked in.
Exactly. Okay, also in a relatively narrow corridor. Exactly. All of those things made it difficult.
No lights either.
No lights. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Anyway, he should not prepare it from the outside. In other words, he should not go and take the Ktoiris and pour it on the Gecholim outside the Kodesh Kodosh of the Yachnis and go inside, but rather do all of that inside the Kodesh Kodosh. Why do we make such a big fuss about this? The Tzedoikim did not hold that way. The Tzedoikim held that you can prepare the whole Oshon, the whole Ktoiris, outside of the Kodesh Kodashim and walk in with your fire pan, with the Gecholim and with the Ketoris on top of the Gecholim, and it's all smoking. You can go in that way. My drosh, based on what pasuk, because it's in the pasuk, ki bi onon a roe al hakapoyris. Olamet shiyasakim b'chutz v'yachnis. The Gemara is now quoting the drosha of the Tzedoikim. The Gemara leaves out part of the drosha, because just by the fact that it says ki bi onon a roe al hakapoyris, that doesn't really give you the full flavor of the drosha. But Rashi adds, because at the beginning of the pasuk it says va'al yovei b'chol eis al hakodesh. If you want, you can look at Ois 2, the second pasuk here of Torah Ora Sholem. Ve'yomer shalom Moshe dabal har nechicha va'al yovei b'chol eis al hakodesh. Don't go at any time you want to into the Kodesh Kodashim, and then skip a few words till the end of the pasuk. Ki bi onon eroa al hakapoyis. I will only appear. The Shekhinah will appear in the Onan, in the cloud of smoke, which is created by the incense. So they put these two parts of the Pasuk together. Don't go in B'choleis al HaKodesh, but do go in B'onan Eru al HaKodesh. So therefore, when you go in, you should already have the pre-existing Onan before you even enter into the, so to speak, the doors, the entranceway into the Kodesh Kodashim. Now on the surface, that has a little bit of an appeal in terms of how you read the Pasuk together. But the Chacham said, Omulam Chacham, Valoi Kvan Emar. But the Pasuk is very, very clear. V'nosan Sektoris Alo Eish, Lefnei Hashem. You don't put the Ktoris on the Eish before you enter the Kodesh Kodashim, but only Lefnei Hashem when you enter into the Kodesh Kodashim. I am Cain. What did the Chacham do with the Pasuk of the Tzedakim? It has at least a superficial appeal. That you have to put in that special herb, that special spice called the Malan Oshan spice, so that it goes straight up like a makel. We will see Mitchum the Gemara as we go to the, why don't we just skip in fact ahead, and then we'll come back to where we are. If you go two lines before the wide lines, we have Tanya, the Sanya, Nosim Bo Iker Mali Oshan. You put in the Shoresh, you put in the roots of the Mala Oshan. Mala Oshan is this special spice. I'm the first, the last narrow line before the first wide line. Hoyimetamir Va'ula Kimakya. By putting in the Mala Oshan, then the incense and the smoke went straight up like a straight stick. Ad Shemagia Lishme Koyr, until it hit the ceiling of the Kodesh Kedoshim. Kimish Yigir Lishmei Kodesh, once it hits that ceiling, the Mashmish V'yoyre B'Kosolim, then slowly it drifts down on the sides of the wall, Achin Ismali Habayis Oshim, until the entire base Kodesh HaKadoshim was full of that smoke of the incense, Shinema, like it says in the Pasuk, Habayis Imali Oshim. For those of you that have seen the atom bomb in Nagasaki or something like that, they say has, it looks like a mushroom, right? First the smoke went all the way up, and then it started coming down to the right and to the left like a mushroom. So here too, you have that same type of optic effect, that the metamer v'oyle, the incense will go straight up like a makel, a straight column, it hits the ceiling, and then it starts dispersing to the right and to the left and coming down like a cloud. So this makes it into a real cloud, as opposed to that if you didn't put in the maloshen, what would happen is, as the incense burns, then you would have smoke going to the right and to the left, dispersing all over, and it would never become like a real cloud, because after a short while it would all be it would all disperse into the atmosphere, into the air, and be nothing left. This way, when it goes like a full makel, like the erect stick all the way up, and then it starts having that mushroom effect coming down, then it feels like, it looks like an usher. So therefore, getting back to the Gemara now at the top of the Amud, seven lines from the top, you put in this special spice called the Mala Oshin spice, and that causes this dramatic effect of the Bi'onon Eiroa ala Kapoyis. Kadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol is saying, now we have this beautiful cloud in the Kapoyis. So, not like the Tzedokim learned Ki Bi'onon Eiroa ala Kapoyis, that they're supposed to come into the Kodesh Kedoshim with a pre-existing Onon, but that the Onon gets created inside the Kapoyis itself, like it says, Lefnei Hashem. How do you know you put in this spice? Now, mind you, before we continue on, this Gemara on the surface is a little bit difficult, because the Gemara just said now, go back a line, Matam Eloi Mekibi Onan Eroa Ala Kapoyis, Malamed Shinoisin Bo Mala Oshin. Now the Gemara says, Uminayin Shinoisin Bo Mala Oshin, Shinamar, I have a second pasuk. I already have one pasuk. The Gemara is going to call this, do I need Kra Likra? Do I need one pasuk to support the other pasuk? Both psukim now, you're darshaning the same way, Kibi Onan Eroa Ala Kapoyis, to tell you, don't forget to put in the Mala Oshin spice. I learned that from Kibi Onan, and now I learn it from V'chisa Anan Haktoides Es HaKapoyis. The Gemara is going to ask in another few lines, why do we need two psukim to tell us the same thing? And the Gemara is going to have four separate answers to this question. But continuing on, Halinos and Bom Mala Oshin, what happens if you forgot to, or you didn't put in this special spice? Or Shechisar Achaz Mikol Samanel, or if you left out any of the other spices. After all, the Yud Aleph, there are 11 spices every day, and on Yom Kippur, as part of the Ketores. How know if you left out even one Chayiv Misa? How do you know this? From this Pasuk. What is this Pasuk? Let's look at Pasuk number 1. The Nosan Esak Toyris Ala Eish Lefnei Hashem. Make sure you put the Toyris Lefnei Hashem, Lefnei V'Lefnim, in the Kodesh Kedoshim. V'chisa Anan Ak Toyris. That comes to tell you, put in the Mala Oshon. What happens if you didn't do it? Ashala Eidis V'lo Yomuz If Chas V'Sholem, if you didn't do it, what you're supposed to, Chas V'Sholem, this is Din of Misa. So that's the drasha in its entirety. Again, shenem ruchisa nanek toides, holay nosim b'malo oshin, hoy shechisa achem p'kol samanea, chayim isa. V'eik dimor v'teip b'klei dekom ayil b'yerei konis. I don't need to bring a raya from posik 1. I have a raya from posik 2. Because that posik is talking about b'yerei konis. B'yerei konis means to enter into the base of English, empty-handed. What do you mean? So let's go to posik number 2. V'yem yishem ha-moisha. Don't come in anytime you want throughout the year. You're not allowed to be based on Paroichas. You're not allowed to come into the El Pnei HaKapoyis to the Kodesh Kedoshim. Because if you do, there'll be a din of Misa. The only time and the only heter to go into the Kodesh Kedoshim throughout the year is only on Yom Kippur, when Ki bi'onon eiroa ala kapoyis, if you're coming in for purposes of the avoid of Yom Kippur, such as the ketores, or like we have a couple of psukim later, the hazor sadam, but otherwise, chas v'sholom, you're not allowed to come in. And what happens if you do come in at any time of the year, including Yom Kippur, without your full kaf umachta, or without the mizrik of dam, stam the kohen gadol walks in or walks out, or even if he brought in the kaf umachta, what happens if the kaf is missing one spice, such as the mala oshin spice? Then that's the pasuk. But the pasuk tells us v'lo yomus chas v'shom, there'll be a din of misa, because the only heter is if you come in with a biyam maleya, you come in full handed with whatever you need. But if it's beer, it's filet yomus, kibi onan, it's got to be with all the ingredients. So Frank Dimara, why do I have to go and mention and refer to the filet yomus of pasuk number one, which is a pasuk which is addressed expressly and specifically to someone who comes in with an incomplete ketores? I have, and it says Vilayomus, I have pasuk number two that says on a biere kanis, if you don't come in with your complete equipment and ketores, etc. Vilayomus. So freiti marbatepe claim it, come the ayil, biere kanis. So putting aside the issue of chisr achas mikol samanel, I have a more basic concern that you're coming in without a full beer, without a beer shlema, if you will, without all of what you need to bring in. It's talking about a person that was shogeg bebia, meaning he didn't know about the isur of al yovi b'chol eis al hakodesh. Since he didn't know about it, you can't give him misa because he's a shogeg. He said, I never learned it. When I was in Cheder, we got up to Parshas Tzav. We never got to Parshas Achri Mois. I didn't know that. I'm sorry. However, he's a bakhtar, but he did know about Hilchis Ktoiris. He knew that you have to have Yiral Samamon, and he knew you had to go and put in the Mala Oshan. About that, he knew totally. And he messed up B'mezid. Ah, that's why you have to have a second Vilayomis to say that if the Gabi the beer, Ikonis, you're off the hook because it was a show kick. But the Gabi, the composition of the Ktoiris, you left out one or two different spices, then you get misa for that, chas v'shal.
This doesn't add up with stuff you learned in the Masechta.
As what?
7 days they prepared him. They took the Ktoiris and they had all the eleven spices and they re-ground it again for Dakim and Adaka, Erev and Kippur.
Exactly.
Shogeg in Bia doesn't seem to work because he had 7 days of preparation, and missing one of the spices doesn't seem to work because the base of tinus was rigorous, and this wasn't just Ktoris for Yom Kippur, this is Ktoris for the whole year that was Daka ben Adaka for Yom Kippur.
Right.
So this whole answer doesn't seem to be kind of shogeg in one and hazing the other.
Which you're saying is, on a practical level, this probably never occurred, or would be difficult to find how it would occur. But on a theoretical level, it could happen. You could happen in the Beis Haftinas. In one corner, there was incomplete spice. They had started preparing everything, but they hadn't finished off everything yet. Or that you have a Kohen Gadol who is a bad guy. Remember, we had a tzedoki that went into the Kodesh Kedoshim. We had that back on the Fiches Yutes, and he specially made the onan before he went into the Kodesh Kedoshim to spite everyone and to say, "You see, huh? We're going to do it our way. We're not going to do it the Prushim way." And unfortunately, he had a very, very
bad outcome.
Very bad outcome. Very bad fate. He, after they found his dead body on the Ashba with Toiloim, with all types of worms coming in and out of his nose. Anyway, but
the point, Mark,
that's Ikri Amri.
His forehead.
Exactly. On the shoulder.
Didn't the Bar Advice buy the incense already, the guitarist already made?
Yeah,
already
that's so what Barry's point is.
One. It should be the.
Get your money back.
It could have been the Alexandria.
Exactly. Like he's his own private.
That's Barry's question. It's an excellent question.
He has no pockets on his big day lover.
The Alexandrians came in temporarily. And they didn't get it right. So it wasn't based on penis. You get what you pay for.
It could be. First, remember, all of this could be a theoretical thing. We're not saying necessarily that this ever occurred. Were it to occur that a Kohen Gadol was Shogag Bebia and he's Hizid Behaktara, the reason why we have to have two separate Loyomuses in the two separate Psukim, because were this ever to occur, you couldn't give a Misa because of the Bia, but you could give a Misa because of the Haktar.
And you're giving a Misa, Misa's present, or Misa Bidei Shemayim?
Misa Bidei Shemayim. Okay, fine.
So what is it? Not getting Misa.
Okay, but the Loyomus tells us that he doesn't have the Chiyav Misa Bidei Shemayim if he's Shogag Bebia, but he would get a Chiyav Misa Bidei Shemayim if the whole Gemara's kasha was, why do you have to invent a brand new Vilayomus? Kadosh Baruch Hu, why do you have to say it twice? It would be enough to say by Biri Kanis. So the Gemara, because of Biri Kanis, you could have a situation where at least theoretically he would be doing it b'shogeg. However, if the Gabi, the Ketoresin, he did it b'mezid, that he especially left out one of the spices, it could be And we don't know exactly how this all worked, but it could be that the Malah Oshin, to be as effective as possible, it wasn't part of the original mixture, but you brought it in separately. Of course, here in the case of the Kodesh Kodashim, it was all together in that, in the two Chafina Sektoris. But the point is, when he went to the base of Tinas to go and cup his, and scoop up with his hands, maybe he had to go and add the Malah Oshin to it to make sure it does a great job. And he decided to leave the Malah Oshin on the side. He said, no, we don't need this, I'm not going to use it, to put it on the side. And therefore, maybe he didn't take it along. Bottom line is, yes, theoretically it's possible, although on a practical level, it's highly unlikely that this ever occurred. So, what would be the din? If Yishagi would be a behidat haktorah, he would get the misa, out of the missing haktorah, that he didn't have all the spices, but he would not get pech, or he wouldn't get misa for the bir ikaris. You could have a theoretical possibility that the Kohen Gadol was mazed both on the din of bir ikaris and on the din of the incomplete haktorah, but you still need a second v'layomus for gabi the haktorah, ki goin, the ayil shtei haktoris, very interesting terz. The Kohen Gadol apparently had a very big hand, so in one hand he had the machta with the hat kecholim, in the other hand he took two ladles. One ladle was shleima, full of teres to the brim, whatever you needed. The achas chaseidim, the other one was missing a mala oshin, missing another spice. Abiyo loy machayiv, on the coming into the Kodesh Kodashim he would not get misa. To ayil lei shleima, because he brought in a full-fledged ladle full of all of the 11 samamonim mithi ma'ala oshen, totally shleima. So you can't have a tain on him. Ki, you have to bring in all the spices. I brought in all the spices. So therefore, the beer ikonis is off the hook. However, haktorah mechayiv tikat mekater k'toyres chaseira. What happens if he were to go and be makter the Ketoidus Chaseira inside the Kodesh Kodashim? Uh-oh, he's being over on not having all of the Samamonim together in that Ketoidus as he's being makter it. So out the Bia, he'd be parted from Misa. But out the Ketoidus, he'd be Chai of Misa. That's why we have to have the second Veloyamus. Is a Shaila among the Achroinim when we say that he was makter Ketoidus Chaseira. Is that talking about after he already brought the Ketoidus Shleima, or is it only if he did it before bringing the Ketoidus Shleima? L'choida, if you're talking about that he did the Ketoidus Shleima already first, then he did a perfect job. The fact that he's after Mekata Ketoidus Chaseira, he's a fool for doing it, but you know, kind of Le'mala V'Le'moyrit.
Le'mala literally, because he won't go up.
My God! Barry, touche. But the point is, the Choyre, only if he did the Ketoidus Chaseira first. He Taka brought him the Ketoidus Shleima, but he said, I'm going to leave it here. I'm going to leave it for next year, for next Kohen Gadol, or whatever. But he does the Ketoidus Chaseira on its own, or he does it number one. So as he's doing the Ketoidus Chaseira, he's over on this Isser of not putting in the Mala Oshin, or not putting in all the Salamonim, and therefore for that he'll get the Misa, but he won't get it for the Birei Kodesh. Okay. Yes, Robert, you have a question?
Yeah, if you make with one full, in one not full, chapino, that means that he is bringing in Baldoise, the Zoro, the Kulu, the Kulu, into the Kochi Kochi.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a din of Baltoisef if it's in a separate ladle. If it's in the same ladle together with all the others, the Gemara said before, make sure lo yechser v'lo yoisir. Back in the Mishnah we said the kachi midosa, it's got to be that midah. And the Gemara asked, what did the kachi midosa come to tell you? Make sure don't add to the ketores, don't take away. So it's got to be exactly the amount that fits into his two hands together. But if he puts in a separate ladle, that wouldn't be an issue. Especially if he's not makter at the same time. If he's makter separately, so it's just, would appear to be a narishkeit.
It's not a zoro if he's makter separately.
I'm sorry, obviously what he's doing is wrong, and that's why the Gemara is saying that he would get misa for the Ketoidus Chaseira. The shailah that some of the Achrayim talk about is, would he get misa if he brought the Ketoidus Chaseira after he was already makter the Ketoidus Shleima? He did what he had to do, he was makter the Ketoidus Shleima, and then he says, you know what, Rabbi Isai, talking to himself, because nobody else is there in the Kodesh Kodashim, I'm going to do now a Ketoidus Chaseira as well. is there an issue of Misa based on that, or is it only based on doing, if he would do it initially? By doing it initially, he's violating the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, don't go in unless you do the Onanir Ala Kapayis. Well, I already did the Onanir Ala Kapayis. So that's the Shaila, whether or not the Misa would only attain if it was initially Kedarish Chaseira, or even if he did the Kedarish Shleima and then did the Chaseira. Good. Amen. Uminayin shenoisim b'mala oshan tamaloy mevachisa. Frank Timora, Krah. The Krah. You bring one pasuk to back up another pasuk. In other words, back in the Braisa, as we learned it before, we initially brought a raya from the pasuk Talmud Loimar, seventh line from the top, Kibi Onan Eroa Lekapuris Malamich and Noisim Ba Mala Ashan. And then if the Gemara would say, I'm going to go and bring you a raya from a Mishnah, from a Braisa, from another Mishnah or something, I understand. But the same Braisa continues on. Umenayinch and Noisim Ba Mala Ashan. Mister, I just said it. Why is the second pasuk better than the first pasuk? What do we need two psukim for? So that's the Gemara's kasha, and the Gemara is going to give four answers. Omer Rav Yosef, Hachi Karma, Einli Ela Alei Mala Oshen, Iker Mali Oshen Minayin Mala Oshen. This spice has both alim, those are leaves, and it has the shoresh, which the Gemara calls Iker. It can mean the source, but in this case it means the roots. And so therefore, maybe the whole din of putting the Mala Oshin is putting in the leaves. How do I know that you can also put in the Ikar, the roots, and that will accomplish the same trip, the same function, that it's going to be Mala the Oshin, Minai. Oh, so that's why I need two psukim. First Pasuk tells you you can go and put in the Alei, and the second Pasuk says you can go and put in the Shoresh. Amri Abai says, "By Ibchatanya." In the Braisa, we learn just the opposite. Not that the alei, that the grass is the, or do I say the grass, the leaves are the important one. And the Dieved b'shas avchak, you can also put in the Ikar, the Shoresh. But the Braisa is just the opposite. The Sanya, Nosen ba Ikar Mala Oshen. If he put in the Ikar, and this is the Ikar, he put in the shirashim, he put in the roots, he put in the maliyashin, like we learned before, he would go beautifully up, straight kemaka, like an erect rod, like an erect stick, until it hits the, Rashi says, shmeikar is like the Russian shemayim, it hits the heavens. But it doesn't hit the heavens, because the Kodesh Kodashim has a ceiling to it. How do we know that it has a ceiling to it? Because as you recall, we spoke about that if and when they needed repair and maintenance, then they would have somewhat of a primitive elevator that they would lower from the upper story downwards into the Kodesh Kodashim. So there was a ceiling over there. So that ceiling stopped the Oshin from continuing to go higher and higher. Once it hits the ceiling, then the mashmish v'yorid b'kasol, and then it starts to go in a downwards fashion, like in a mushroom fashion. Until the whole bayis is full, bayis imali oshin. Okay, so what do I see from this? That l'chayru, the ikr, is to use the ikr mali oshin, not the alei, not the leaves. Elom abayis, the bayis says, Rav Yosef, your drasha was perfect, we just have to reverse it. Hachi karma, Einli el ikr mali oshin. I only know from the first pasuk. We remember we had two psukim. Pasuk number one was ki bi onan eroa al hakapoyres, and the second pasuk is v'chisa anan haktoyres. So the Gemara says, from the first pasuk, I would only know that if you're using the root of the mala oshin, because that's very effective, like we just said. Alei mali oshin minayin. How do I know that the leaf is also effective and that that's also kosher? Haloimer v'chisa anan haktoyres, as a kapoyres, etc. So therefore, I need the two psukim. One to tell you the Iker, and the other to tell you the Alim. Teretz number two, Rav Sheish Yisomar, Einli Ela Oil Moyitche B'Midbar, Shilo Yobeis Olam Minayin. I know that you have to put the Mali Oshin in the Oil Moyit, in the Beis, not the Beis Megish, in the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. How do I know? Because in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, make sure, Dabel har nochicha, val yom b'chol eisa la koydish, v'beis la peroiches, el p'nei ha-kapoydis, ki bi'on en eroa la kapoydis. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe to tell Aaron, don't go b'chaleisa l'kodesh. This is talking about the Kodesh Kadoshim of the Mishkan and the times in the Midbar. That's when Moshe and Aaron lived. How do I know? In later years, when the Mishkan was reestablished in Shiloh, and they Salomim in the Batei Migdash, Beis Migdash Rishon, Beis Migdash Sheni, Minayin, how do you know that there too the Ma'ala Oshen is so important? That's why I have the second pasuk. So I have the two psukim, one for Midbar, second one for Shiloh Beis Salam. Frank Demora, hi. I don't need that pasuk of the v'chisa. I have another pasuk. This is pasuk number 4. V'chipa l'kodesh b'tumas b'nei Yisrael b'shem l'chod. V'chein yas l'oil moira sheichin itam b'teich tomosam. In other words, this is not just a one generation midbar rule. This is v'chein yas. This is the way you should always do it to the oil moira, wherever the oil moira happens to be, whether it's in the midbar, whether it's in Shiloh, whether it's in Beis Alamim. This is the way you got to do it. So I bazoi. So I don't need the v'chisa nan hakodesh to tell you that. Says Imo, you know, you're right. So it's not going to tell you legabe the mokoim, legabe the location, elohachik amar, legabe the timing. Ainly elabi yom kippur b'shari moitzah shana minayin. I only know the din of Yom Kippur, that the Ma'ala Oshen is vital, and in fact it's ma'akev. You have to have that Ma'ala Oshen spice. What about throughout the entire year? Because every single day of the year we bring the Ketores, not in the Kodesh Kedoshim, but in the Mizbeach HaPanimi. How you know there too, make sure you have the Ma'ala Oshen. This is our teretz number 2. You need the 2 psukim, one for Yom Kippur in the Kodesh Kedoshim, and you need a second pasuk a whole year in the Hechel. Teretz number 3. Why do I have to have 2 psukim? Ravashi Omer Chad Lemitzvah Chad Li'akev. If we'd only say one, I would say, oh, Shagutizach, make sure you do it. Avada, Kodesh Baruch Hu said so. It's a grace of mitzvah put in the Ma'ala Oshen. What happens if you forgot or you didn't? I would think, okay, no, you didn't. You did the best you can. No. Shana love accustomedly akiv. We have this very often in Kodshim in particular, that when the Torah repeats it twice, a Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, and I mean it. I'm not just telling you, yeah, it's a nice thing to do. Be gracious, be benevolent, be beneficent, be a bal chesed, be a good. No, akiv. Without it, it's not kosher. You're not yotz in the midst of Torahs throughout the year or on Yom Kippur without that second, without putting in the malosh. So that's teretz number 3. Teretz number 4. Rav Omer Chad the Oynish v'Chad li Azhara. One pasuk is telling you the Azhara. Rabbi said, this is the way you got to do it. And the second pasuk says, and if you don't do it, then it's going to be in the Osha, and then there's going to be the Oynish. The person's going to get Misa. Now, the Gemara is going to bring now a Braisa, which is exactly like what Rava just said. And in fact, there are other Gemaras that have the Girsa Disanya. So Rava is bringing a Raya from a Braisa. Rava Omer Chad Oynish V'Chad Asar. Disanya, like it said in the Braisa, Blazer Oymer V'lo Yomus Oynish Ki Bi'onan Eroa Azhara. Oh, so that's why we have to have the two psukim. The first pasuk of Kibi Onon, that's the warning. Where do we have the Kibi Onon? That's in pasuk number 2. Vayavu chaleis v'kodesh, reboisai, Kibi Onon eroa l'kapoides, make sure, be onon. As far as the other pasuk, what's the other pasuk? V'nosim sektoides al reish, v'nevechis anan haktoides, make sure it's mechasa anan, you have to have this onon haktoides, because if you don't have the onon and you don't have the malo oshon, so if I have to have sukkim, one ashara, one to go and take the onish. Right? So that's exactly like Rabbis. We have now our 4 terutzim why we need the 2 psukkim. Says Yigmar, Yochel Yushneyem Amurim Koidem Mises Bnei Aharon. I would think we know that Nadav Avihu unfortunately passed away on the first day of the Mishkan. It doesn't say clearly in the Torah why they passed away. And in fact, there are numerous Gemaras and Midrashim giving a number of different possibilities why they passed away. So I might have thought that maybe the reason why Bnei Aharon passed away was because they brought the Ketores without putting in the Ma'ala Oshen. They didn't bring the Ketores at night for the Fnim. And besides the fact that we're talking about the first day of Nisan, we're not talking about Yom Kippur. But on the Ketores that you're supposed to bring every single day in the morning, the afternoon, maybe they didn't put the Ma'ala Oshen. Maybe that's the reason for the Misa. So if you more, no, that's not the reason. Because in fact, they were not both told before, when I say both the Azhara and the Onesh was not told to them before they passed away. How do I know? Because Talmud Loimar, Achrei Moish Nevin Yaharoin, this whole, all these psukim that we're talking about in Parshas Achrei Moish, this is already after they passed away. No, if after they passed away, what was the reason why they passed away? The Gemara is going to tell us in another line. But in the meantime, says the Gemara, Yochel Yush Neim Amurim Achra Misa Shnei V'Nihar. Maybe both Psukim, and after all, both Psukim are in Parshas Achrei Moish, after the first Pasuk in Achrei Moish, Achrei Moish that we're referring to, that's the very beginning of Parshas Achrei Moish. Vayidab Hashem Moish, Achrei Moish Neim V'Nihar, and Bekar V'Sum Afnei Hashem V'Yemuso. That's Perek Tezayin Pasuk Aleph. And the other Psukim that we mentioned, the two psukim that we've been focusing on so far this morning, one on Ki Bi'onan Eruah LaKapoyrus, and the other pasuk V'Chisa Ananak Toyrus, both of them are in Parshas Achrei Moish, after that initial pasuk. So I would think both of them were said after Mishneh Be'ar, no, Ki Bi'onan Eruah LaKapoyrus. What do I learn from Ki Bi'onan? HaKeitzad Azara Koyde Misa V'Oynish Achar Misa. They already knew the Asara. In other words, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, go and tell Aharon that what, make sure not to come into the Kodesh Kodoshim, or for that matter throughout the year, without having all of the Samamonim, including the Mala Ashan. That Asara they knew about already before they passed away. The Oynish they only found out after they passed away. They didn't find out, they'd already passed away. Frankly, my Talmuda, how do you go and do this hair splitting? How do you know that the second Pasuk is any earlier or later than this than the first Pasuk? The first Pasuk has Hara Kodemisa. Even though it's codified and published, so to speak, in the Torah, after the words, Achri Moshe Nei Ben Aharon, we believe Chazal that this was already told to the Bnei Aharon already pre-Misa. But how do I know that the Oynish was after Misa? My Talmud. Rav and Kirkus, it says the Pasuk can be on an Eiro'eh. Eiro'eh means that I will appear. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I will appear. Vadayin lo nira. But he hadn't appeared as yet. In other words, at the time that this Pasuk was given, Kadosh Baruch Hu had not appeared. Only later on did a Kadosh Baruch Hu appear. How do I know that later on a Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared? So Rashi brings the Pasuk. Vayetzu v'yivorchu esa'am, vayeir kvod Hashem el kol ha'am.
So anyway, am I to infer or misinfer that they were killed because they didn't bring enough of the...
That's, until this point, you have every right to make that inference.
But
says Imar, my time he punished. Why were they punished if they weren't told about the punishment? That's not fair. You can't go and punish someone without having advised the person why he is being punished. Or telling him that there is a punishment. So if Yimara Kidasani for a totally different reason. Reblazer Oimer, Loimesu Bnei Aharon El Al Shahoiru Halacha Bnei Moshe Rabban. The reason why they passed away was because they were Moir Halacha. On the surface, it sounds like that they were paskining on their own. However, Rashi says what the Gemara is really telling us is they didn't ask permission, as we'll see in a moment. My Drosh, what does it say in the Pasuk? The Nosim and Aharon are koyin Eish al Mizbeach. That when Aharon are supposed to put the Eish al Mizbeach every single morning. That Afal Pisha Eish Yeredes Mishamayim, even though there happens to be that Eish that comes down from the heavens onto the Mizbeach, like we learned back in the earlier Prokem of Ar Masechta, Mitzvah Lahavim and Hedjit, but it's a mitzvah to go and bring your own Eish as well, to, in a sense, assist that Eish that came down Mishamayim. And as you'll recall, in the first base of Migdash, it says in the Gemara that we didn't really need this additional Eish, but it's a mitzvah. The second base of English, unfortunately, although there was an Eish Min HaShemayim, it was not effective because Kadosh Baruch Hu took away the fiery effect or efficacy of the Eish Min HaShemayim, and therefore you had to go and bring Eish Min HaHedjit, otherwise it didn't work. You couldn't burn any of the Chalav Mevar. Anyway, so Rashi says about this. If you look at Rashi, Mitzvah Lahavi Min HaHedjit, Rashi is about 4 or 5 lines higher than where we are in the Gemara. Mitzvah Lahavim and Hedjit. V'afal pi shahoru karoi. Even though they passed it correctly, yes, they brought the Eish from that they were supposed to. Yeah, they did the right thing. However, then shishli not lurishus. They didn't get authorization. In other words, since this is the very beginning of their serving as Kehanim, they should wait until Moshe Rabbeinu gives them all the instructions and all the authorizations. They shouldn't do this on their own.
So they passed it in front of the Rebbe?
In a sense, they passed in front of the Rebbe, but it wasn't so much out of the psak, because they passed him correctly. But they did it without full authority to go and do it. And this is one pshat, In the Medrash and other Gemaras, they give other reasons why and Bnei Aharon Meisim. But that's what our Gemara says. Fine. With this, we've concluded the intricate discussion about the Chafinas Haktoides and how difficult it was, and the Gecholim and the Machta and the Kaf, etc., etc. And now it says in the Mishnah, Yotze Uvolei, now the Kohen Gadol was finished, he left the Kaf of Machta on there inside the Kodesh Kedoshim, and he leaves Derech Knisasi the same way that he came in. So again, Parship Shat, the same way he came in, you know, the same, he used the same doorway that he came in, he left the same doorway again. Which of course is difficult because there is only one doorway. Meaning that Psy, according to the Chacham, and Psy, according to Biyosi, regardless of whether or not there were two Parayches and a one Parayches, Kuli Alma Moida, the way you came into the Kodesh Kedoshim was on the northern side, that's the right hand side of the Parayches. You come in, and that's the only way to go out. You couldn't come out with a helicopter. You couldn't go out with a back door. That was the only door that was there. So that being the case, what the Mishnah is coming to tell us is not that he came out through the same door, but that he left the exact same way that he came in, meaning that he walked backwards outside of this, not the door, but through the curtain outside into the hechel. Yes, the same way he came in, he walked backwards. Thank you, Mamon. I mean, where's this Indian that you're supposed to walk backwards? Amrish from Barachmeni, the youngest son of a crotch, is the pasuk of Yavi Shloimei Labama Asher Begivoin Yerushalayim. Shloimei Melech was coming from Yerushalayim to Givoin. There was a period of time that you had the Bama Gdoila, then Mishkan was no longer in Shiloh, but there was a period of time it was in Noiv and Givoin. That's where you had the big bummer meaning here, the bummer Sibur, to bring Karbanis. And Shlomo Melech was coming to Givoin, and the Pasuk, the word Yerushalayim, is missing one letter. Either Rashi said it should say Mirushalayim, or it should say Lirushalayim, meaning that Shlomo Melech left Yerushalayim to go to Givoin to bring the carbon there, and then he left Givoin to go back to Yerushalayim to return to his palace. So why does it say Vayovai Shlomo Laboma Asher BeGivoin Yerushalayim? It should say he came to the Boma Asher BeGivoin Mirushalayim, or he left the Boma BeGivoin, he went now to Yerushalayim. V'chimah Inyan Givoin El Yerushalayim. The Gemara says that the two, the Yitzia from Givoin back to Yerushalayim, was just like when he came to Givoin from Yerushalayim. The ma biyosim Yerushalayim the Givoin pun of klapi bama. He went in the direction towards the bama to see the bama. Kiderech biyosim af Yitziyosim he given Yerushalayim pun of klapi bama. Then he also has to go and continue to focus on the bama kiderech biyosim the same way that he came in. That's the same way that he has to leave. He has to leave backwards. So I know you're saying to yourself, does that mean the entire derech from Givoin to Yerushalayim, which presumably was a number of miles, was he walking backwards? We'll see in the Gemara in another few, couple of lines, the Chayra only as long as he saw the bama. Once the bama is out of sight, then you can go and turn around and walk normally. Obviously, when you are walking backwards, there is a strong possibility, if not a likelihood, that you're going to bump into someone or something. And so therefore, the Gemara is going to tell us momentarily, you don't go totally backwards, but you go mitzadei tzedudi. That means you turn sideways. In other words, you go backwards, but you keep on looking to the side to make sure that you're not going to bang into the wall or into someone else. Every day of the year when the Kohanim did the Avodah Levi'im, when the Duchanim, they did the Shirois v'Sishbachos, and the Yisraelim that was standing there to watch the Korban Tomid, when they leave, they didn't walk straight, but they walked semi-backwards, semi-to-the-side, so that they walked backwards, but they were able to see where they were going. When the Talmud leaves his Rebbe, he should not go and have his back towards his Rebbe, but rather he should walk sideways and leave the Rebbe. And this is, for those of you that ever been by a Hasidish Rebbe, this is very common even today, that the Hasidim they walk backwards when they leave. Yes?
So,
famous Shem
Chaim used this also.
Okay. So Gemara tells us, Reb Loza, as we know from many other Gemaras, was a Talmud of Reb Yochanan. So when Reb Loza and Pedas, yes, correct. So when Reb Loza and Pedas are leaving Reb Yochanan, can have a boy, Reb Yochanan, the Seguye, have a Gochin Koi, Reb Loza, Aduchte. So sometimes Reb Yochanan would leave first, and sometimes Reb Loza would leave first. no matter whether the Rabbi Yochanan was leaving or Rabbi Elazar was leaving, Rabbi Elazar always showed tremendous respect to his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan. It's going to have a boy, Rabbi Yochanan Skuya. When Rabbi Yochanan had to say farewell, he had to leave. Have a gochin koi, Rabbi Elazar aduchte. Rabbi Elazar would stand there with a bowed head towards Rabbi Yochanan. Ad avin mechsi, Rabbi Yochanan minei. Until he no longer saw Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan had already gone nechvais more than 10 amos, 20 amos, he couldn't see him any longer, so then he would stop bending over and he would start walking himself. And the other way around, because have a boy, Rabbi Elazar l'skuya, if Rabbi Elazar left earlier, before Rabbi Yochanan, have a ka'ozel l'achor, he would walk backwards, and the mechsi minei Rabbi Yochanan, until he no longer saw Rabbi Yochanan, so therefore from that point on, then he could walk normally again. Now the Gemara tells us the story of Rava. And the story of Rava is hair-raising. It's amazing. Rava could have a miftah minei Rav Yosef. When Rava would leave the presence of Rav Yosef, he also walked backwards. But he didn't go sideways. He went straight backwards. Ad the menagvan kare, until his legs hit something, hit, I don't know, a pothole, they hit a wall or something. Or mitzvasan askufta the beit of Yosef Dama, until the threshold where Rava was leaving was now full of blood. It was a bloody mess because of the fact that he was walking backwards and he didn't take care of where he was banging or going or coming. People were so impressed, they told Rabbi Yosef about what happened. Hachi Obed Rava, this is what Rava did. Now why did they have to tell Rabbi Yosef? Didn't Rabbi Yosef know on his own? Oh, Zuk the brother Shai, Zuk the Barry, Zuk the Gantz Oilam, because Rabbi Yosef was a Sagi Nor. Unfortunately, he was blind. Rashi tells us that at the very top. Moire Naim is just like Sagi Nor. He wouldn't know the difference if there was blood, not blood. So that's what they told him. Amalei, so now Rav Yosef benched Rav and he said, Yehi Rava. Yehi Rava is like Yehi Rotzayn. It should be the Rotzayn of Hashem. The Torah Reishcha Akula Krocha. That your head should be raised up over the entire city. Meaning that you should eventually become the
Rosh Hashir.
The Rosh Hashir. We don't mean the mayor, but we mean over here that you should become the Rosh Hashiva or the Rav. And of course, Rava was, which town was he of?
Muslim
Chassia. Or was it Mechoyza? I think Muslim Chassia think was Rav Ashi, maybe Mechoyza was Rava. But anyway, whichever, Rava became the
Mechoyza.
Okay, fine. He became the chief rabbi of one of the cities at that time, based on this bracha of Rav Yosef. There's another pshat of the Ben Chananel. Is it Ben Chananel? Is it Tosfos Shon? No, it's Ben Chananel. Where is Ben Chananel over here? All the way at the bottom. Yeah. Oh, look all the way in the bottom. First wide line, all the way in the bottom. First line
of the of what
of our Gemara. I can't tell your Gemara. It's a different print.
Actually, you should be the Rosh Hashiva.
Rosh Hashiva. Yeah, but it's the same Rosh. Rosh Hashiva. Okay. So I stand corrected. Not the Rav, not the Chief Rabbi. It was Rosh Hashiva. In the good old days, most Rabbanim were Rosh Hashivas and Rosh Hashivas were Rabbanim. It was only the Litvakas about 100 years ago that they split up into two different functions, Rosh Hashiva and the Rav. But it's fine. I'm happy with your chat. So now look at the Rabbeinu Chananel all the way in the bottom.
Oh, that's
so
that
it's a different print. I don't know where it's in use. And mine is. It's okay, you can see. I do that with Yosef. They have a Sagi Nehoira. Omer Yehi Rava, the Terem Reisha, Akula Karacha, Viesh Oimrim, Shatia, Bakoil, Halacha, Kirava. We should always paskin like Rava. Because of this Mesiris Nefesh of Rava, we always paskin like Rava, and that's why we always paskin like Rava against the Baya, except for the Al Kigam. But otherwise, all the other tens of Machloikasin, we always follow Rava instead of a Baya. So you see the Mesiris Nefesh of, and the tremendous the Yiras HaKovay that he had for his Rebbe, that gave him this special bracha, and he was.
But the Baya also had serious covered for his Rebbe, you know, always went to defend Yosef.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he would remind him of his teachings. We have that throughout.
Mm-hmm. Abaye lived longer than Rava. Abaye lived 60 years, Rava only lived 40 years, but it has to do with Bnei Eli and Toyud and Chesed.
I think including Rava and Rava.
Well, in fact, we had this discussion before. We've had the discussion whether it's Rava or Rava. It's a machloikis, depending on the girsa. Anyway, so getting back to Agamemnon. Since we spoke about walking backwards, guess what? We're now going to talk about the end of Shemoneh Esrei. Amr Alexander, Amr Bishu Ben Levi, Mespal, whoever davened Shemoneh Esrei, Tzor Shiyah Siva, Sholish Psiyah, Lachor, he has to walk three steps backwards. V'yach kach yitin sholom, and after that he should go and say, Oysi sholom b'mroima, v'yasi sholom aleinu, etc. Amr Mordechai, even Shepasa, Sholish Psiyah, Lachor, Hosam, Iboy Leila Mekam. When a person walks back the three steps from Shemoneh Esrei, he shouldn't immediately walk back. He should stay on that spot for a while. And the common custom today is, if it's Shachris or Mincha, to wait until Kedusha, or at least wait until the Chazor Sashat. But even by Marib, one should also wait on that Mokim. One shouldn't just walk straight back. Why? Because Moshul Talmud, Niftami Rabbi, a Moshul is to a Talmud who's leaving his Rabbi, and Choizli Alter, if he immediately goes back, Dim Lekelev Shishob Al Kiyoi. Looks like a dog that is returning to its kia, usually vomit. Means its vomit, what it's spit out.
What?
Yes.
When you start the Shemoneh Esrei?
End the Shemoneh Esrei. End Shemoneh Esrei. You walk back three steps, right?
Okay.
And then you go up. Right. To hesitate
a moment.
And then stay there on that spot for. The Gemara doesn't tell us how long, but you should not go back immediately. Go back three, and then.
Yeah, the left, right. And then
we're going to talk about the left and the right in a moment, but you have to go and bow to this side, bow to that side, bow in front.
You've set back,
right? And then stand there.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And stand there on your spot. Okay. Don't return to your original makam where you were standing Shemoneh Esrei. At the very, very least, you're supposed to stand for the period of how long it would take you to walk for amos. So, at least for 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds.
Holy Mode, Mardi.
I'm sorry, once again? Oh, very good. Beautiful. So, just stand there. Don't move back. Again, once again, it says in Svarim, in Shulchan Aruch, that one should wait the Chachilah until, for instance, Kedusha, and then walk back. If you ever watch someone like Mendy Pollack, who's a Grace Elachid, you'll see he always waits there. B'mkoyma, he waits there patiently, and he walks back there. Exactly. Anyway, Tanya Mihoch, you learn a raya from a braisa, a spouse of Shasia, Sholish Messiah, Tachoyr, if you walk back 3 steps, the Akachish and Shom, you say, Oy to Shom, the Mroimah. The Mlois also can, if he didn't do that, Roy Loishle is Pal. It would be better off if he shouldn't daven, because walking straight back without waiting there at least a short period of time, it's like Kelev Sheshov Al Kiyah. It's finished. Umishum, not Shami bin Mishum, Rib Shmaya Amru, in the name of Rib Shmaya, they said, Shanois is Sholom Limin, the Akach Lismail, which sounds like you're supposed to bow first to the right and then to the left. Didn't you tell me the other way around, Ed? That you bow to the left and then to the right? Isn't that what you told me?
Did I tell you that?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard it.
It's recorded.
It's not
okay. don't be nervous. Don't be nervous.
It's not a tape.
Well, I mean, isn't that what we all do?
Yes, it's what we all do. Yes, you're doing beautifully. Okay, I'm just doing this to get everybody awake. To get everybody nervous, yeah, exactly. So what did Reb Shemaya say? Shemaya said, "Shalom the men first to the right, Akach the small, then to the left." Shemaya, "Mi minoi eish dosbal mi Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah mi minoi from His right hand." Oh, so you see that right? That's the most important. The Yomer, by the way, it says in the Mefarshim, this is not from a Heintiger, this is from hundreds of years ago. It says in the Mefarshim that the word eish dos lomai, that the letters of dos lomai, if you take the dalid of dos and you put it at the end of the word lomoy, and you have the tuf at the beginning, then you spell the word Talmud. So miminoy, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah Shebachsav, as well as the Talmud mitoicha eish, meaning from the fire of Har Sinai. So Talmud, that's a remez for the Torah Shebachsav. Vo'imah, and it says another pasuk, mitzitcha elefim mavu minecha, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is strong, and mitzitcha from your left side will fall down Eleph, 1,000 mazikim, or revolver, and 10,000 mazikim will fall away miminecha from your right side. So you see that the gevura, the strength, is on the right side, and that's why you bow down to the right side first. Why do I have to have two psukim? The first pasuk is great. Maybe he just says the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah kaviyachal. I mean, when we talk about the Kadosh Baruch Hu giving the right hand, the left hand, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have any physical features. But as we know, the Gemara tells us l'sabris ha'oizen, to give us something to contemplate, to think about. Anyway. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gives it b'minoy, but no special reason. Aruch HaNebiltzi, you know, if you're righty, you do it with your right hand. No special kavanas. To tell you that the strength is in fact in the right hand, or the right side, and that's why Revolver 10,000 Mazikim fall away, right side. And therefore you're supposed to bow to the right. And Rabbi Chazli Abayi Yoav Shalma Liamina Bereisha. He saw that's what Abayi did, that he first bowed down to the right. Amalei, so Rabbi said to Abayi, Misavis Nimin Didoch, you think you look to your right. The Smoil Didoch Kamina, would mean to your left. Tav Yaminoi Shalla Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ah, we are now bowing to Hashem, and so therefore we bow to Hashem's right. How do we do to Hashem's right? Because we bow first to the left. and then to the right.
And that's why we do it.
So. And that's why we do it exactly the way you've been doing it for so many years.
Why am I feeling guilty?
If it's metaphorical anyway, it's not really a right. It's just a metaphor.
Exactly.
Then this doesn't really work because...
Yeah, I understand. But that's the way we're trying to exactly personify Hashem, even though you're 100% right. Kedushah doesn't have yamin. It doesn't have
high worship.
Exactly. Anyway, so you bow to your left and to the right. I'm sorry?
The little bay is where you pass the Shinoch and Shalom, the yamin, the small.
Yamin, but this type of yamin. Yamin that you do the small first.
Yamin, Kedushah.
Exactly. And that's why when all these tukim that we have, the two psukim, you do yamin, yamin, Kedushah, Baruch Hu. You go back three steps. Then you bow to the left, which is Hashem Zimin, and then to the right, etc. Okay. Anyway, Zog the Gemara. Om Rav Chiya Reid Rav Huna, Chazin Lulabai Virova, Tipasi Luhu Sholish Psiois Bekri Achas. I saw that when they walked back, they didn't stand erect, but rather they were already bowed over when they're moving back the three steps, and then from that bent over figure, you first go to the left, and then to the right, and then straight ahead, etc. Okay. And then we continue on the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that after the Kohen Gadol left the Kodesh Kedoshim, what was the Lashon of the Mishnah? Nun Beis Amid Beis. Yotze Bolei Derech Beis Knisasa. He walked backwards, like we just said. Umispalel Tfilah Kitzara Bebeis Achitzoy. And now he recites a short Tfilah. V'lohaya Marach B'Tfilosa. And the Mishnah says, don't be Marach B'Tfilah. Shloi Lahabes Es Yisrael. So that Klal Yisrael doesn't get noivis. They're going to see the Kohen Gadol is taking his time. They'll say, oh no, what happened to our Kohen Gadol? Zoki Mar. My Matzli, what Tefillah does he say? This will be all familiar to you because we have it in our Machzorim. Rabbi Baravada, Rabbi Baravada, Trabai Mishmeh, Rab Amri, I Rotzim Ufanach Hashem, Lekim Shetei Shana Zu, Gishuma Ushchuna. Gishuma means it should be a rainy year, lots of rain. Ushchuna, and it should be a hot year. Fakti Mar, Shchuna, Mav Yusi, is that good to be hot? It's not so good to be hot because that dries out the ground, dries up the minerals and the nourishment and the moisture in the ground, so you won't have good crops. And in general, it's hot is not such a great thing. But rather, im shchuna tehei geshuma, Kodesh Baruch Hu, if you've already decreed or you're going to decree that it should be a hot year, make sure that there's plenty of moisture, plenty of rain, so we don't have chas v'shalom a situation of a drought, that we won't have crops, etc. We continue on the same tefillah. Make sure that the memshala, that the government doesn't leave Beis Yehuda, meaning that the malchus should always remain with the malchus Yehuda in Shevet Yehuda. It says in the pasuk, "Liyosu Shevet Yehuda." The words "Layadi Ovid Shultan Beis Yehuda" is basically an Aramaic translation of "Liyosu Shevet Yehuda." V'lo'yiu amchi yisod tzrichon lefarnezem izeh. People shouldn't be poor, that they should have to force themselves to get panosa from one another. Everybody should be able to be self-sustaining.
Yes.
And people who are traveling on the roads, and it starts to pour, and they say, "Could you please stop it? I can't, I'm getting all wet." Don't listen to those fillers. It should get wet and wet. We need the rain.
Dr. Goldfarb always quotes this. He says that the prayer of the Ovrei Drachim, because it has such kavana, is more powerful. He said, few handful of Ovrei Drachim, how can they be more important
exactly
than all the Klal Yisrael? But Dr. Goldfarb always says, he says, the Ovrei Drachim, their Kavana is so powerful not to be impeded by the muddy roads. It's more powerful than all the Kavana of their Tefillahs. It can be overwhelming. So don't listen to them.
Exactly. And they don't have any side biases or prejudices. They mean it. In other words, sometimes when a person is following, not here, somebody else might not be totally sincere. But as you're saying, the tefillahs of Ovrei Drachim, these are as sincere as possible. I'm getting all drenched, you know, please.
And the roads are muddy, they're not paved, so it's actually wet.
Very good.
You can't travel, it's mud roads.
Beautiful, beautiful.
See, Mark, I missed the point you said. So what's the sincere thing?
The sincerity of their prayer is so powerful that these handful of Ovrei Drachim, that's why the Kohen Gadol has to say, don't listen to these handful of people. Everyone else wants rain for crops. Everyone else was promised these handful of people who have to travel on muddy roads.
That's very powerful.
Very powerful.
Just because there are 12 people traveling and they don't have their umbrellas with them, so because of that, we have to make a big fuss about it. By Yom Kippur, don't listen to this Ovrei Drachim. This is Barry in the name of Dr. Goldfarb. I heard, by the way, the same word from my son last night, B'shem Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, who was the legendary Rosh Hashiva of the Yeshiva Smir in Yerushalayim.
The point also,
yes.
Even though, I guess,
Continue on.
Even a kippur is a hurdle. There was still mukkah for tefillah also on your kippur.
Sure.
So, if the tefillah on your drachim is so choshev that if God has to stop down for it, any Jew could have the same koyach hatefillah.
Oh, beautiful.
That the koyach hatefillah of any person has a tremendous rosh hashanah.
He should make sure to have the same sincerity in his tefillah with the same amkos, the same depth, like the Oyvid Racham. Very good. So now the Gemara tells us a story. Reb Chanina ben Doisa. Reb Chanina ben Doisa is legendary throughout Shas as being the Tzaddik Hador. The Gemara says, Reb Chanina ben Doisa, he... Exactly. There's a decree that comes out from the heavens saying that the whole world is sustained in the schus of Chanina ben Doisa. Reb Chanina ben Doisa died loy bekav charuvin me'erev Shabbos erev Shabbos. He lived in absolute abject poverty, and the only food that he had from week to week, from Shabbos to Shabbos, was a kav charuvin. That's a kav is a measure of carobs. If you ever eat carobs, the only time you really have opportunity to eat them is bukser on Chamisha Usa b'Shvat. And anybody that's ever eaten it knows that there's a good chance you'll have to go to the dentist afterwards because of broken teeth and things of that nature.
My grandmother always had the paws on the table.
She has carobs on the table, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so then she remembers the Chanina ben Doisa. That's why
she had her own teeth. But she had false teeth. But,
that's why she had false teeth, because the original... Okay, anyway.
Well, maybe they work.
Who knows? Anyways, getting back to Chanina ben Doisa. So Chanina ben Doisa says, because he was going on the road. Shada mitra alei, and it started pouring. Amr, boy, you the whole world is at home and they're smiling and they're happy and it's raining and it's pouring. It's pouring. As soon as he said the Pasuk Mitra, the rain stopped. He asked the base as soon as he gets home. Now the whole world is Nebuch Batar because there's no rain. They need it for the crops. They need it for the agriculture. And now I have to be happy. Pasuk Mitra, and it started pouring. So now, of course, what the Gemara is trying to magnify is the great tzidkus of Reb Chanina ben Doisa, that he just had that hirhur, he just had a small amira, and bum, Kadosh Baruch Hu listened to him immediately, pasing mitra, asa mitra. But the Marsha says, I don't understand. If Reb Chanina ben Doisa is such a great tzaddik, he should have said, Kadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't make a difference that I'm getting wet. Make sure that everybody else in the world is happy. They need the water, and they need it for the agriculture, and need it for the crops. Forget about me. Here it seems that he's very selfish, that he says to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So it's a bit of a difficult Gemara. So he prayed to Marsha. So Ben Yoyoda says an interesting pshat. Chanina ben Doisa never said to Kodesh Baruch Hu, stop the rain. What he said is, I'm so poor that I don't have a raincoat to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore I'm getting wet. Hoping, perhaps, that Kodesh Baruch Hu would send down an umbrella or a raincoat, min hashamayim, or that he would find it somewhere en route, so he'd be able to wear it. Kodesh Baruch Hu instead went and stopped the matar. The reason why he stopped the matar is because, since the Gemara says, Kol ha'olim kulin nizim b'shul Chanina b'ni, that all of the foods in the world all come because of Reb Chanina. See, what Kodesh Baruch Hu says is, don't worry, I'll make sure there'll be plenty of food, because in the schus of this great tzaddik, there's going to be mezoinus and nourishment for the whole world, and yet Shem, there'll be a bounty. That you don't have to worry. So, briefly, instead of sending him a raincoat, I'm going to stop the rain, and then afterwards the rain resumed after he got home. Anyway, Omer of Yosef. Maya Hanya Leitzloisa Kohen Gadol Agabit of Chanina ben Doisa. The Kohen Gadol, all the Tefartoi with his greatness and all everything, is going to the Kodesh Kadoshim, and he's mispalled this tefillah against the tefillah of Chanina ben Doisa, is Gunish mit Gunish. Because Chanina ben Doisa just said one word, I'm wet, and it stopped. Even though the Kohen Gadol had said, Antikonach Lefanecha Tefillahs Oyvidrach. Tonobat, Maisa Bekohen Gadol Echot, Sheherach Betfilosik. So now, really, there should be a two dots, because now we're not talking about the nature of the tefillah, but we're now talking about the last piece of the Mishnah, Lehoye Marach Betfilosik. Don't be Marach Betfilosik. If Tonobat, Maisa Bekohen Gadol Echot, Sheherach Betfilosik, he didn't listen, he was Marach Betfilosik. And the other Kohanim said, we better check out what's going on. Who knows? Cholida, Chasashom, Tunop. As they are about to approach going into the Heichel and seeing what's going on, at the last moment, the Kohen Gadol emerges. What took so long? Why were you Marach B'Tfilah? He said to them, you're upset about the fact that it was Baal for all of you, and it was Baal that there shouldn't be a Chorav Beis HaMikdash. You should be happy that it was Marach B'Tfilah. Amrulai, yeah, we're talking happy, but out the Rogel Lazis came, don't do that again. Sharchaninu learned that a Mishnah might be close, Yerishle Havis as Israel, so that Klal Yisrael shouldn't get nervous or worried, noivis about what's going on. I remember there was a story back in Florida. I'm sure many of you heard about Reb Ephraim Shapiro, who's a very popular rav and speaker nowadays, so he's a guest speaker on many occasions. He had a father, Reb Mordechai Shapiro, who was the rav for many years in the Beth Israel Synagogue in Miami Beach. Both are very, very chashev talmid chacham. So, the story is told that there was a mispalel in the shul, we'll call him Mr. Rosenberg. Mr. Rosenberg was a wonderful Tayyid, and he had a son who became very religious to the point that his regular Shmon Esrei, Shachris, Minchan, Mariv took often 20, 25 minutes, half an hour. And the father was, in a sense, the chauffeur for his son, because he always took his son back and forth to davening. And it bothered him, you know, he's got to wait there. How long is my son going to daven? So he went over to Rabbi, and he said to the Rabbi, you know, I'm embarrassed to even ask this question, but I know that you're very close to my son. Can you do me a favor? Plead with my son. You should cut the Shmon Esrei by 5 or 10 minutes. You know, I'm impatient. What can I do? So the rabbi said to him, Mr. Rosenberg, no problem. You're right. I know your son very well, and he's very respectful. If I would tell him to shorten the Shmon Esrei by 5 or 10 minutes, I'm sure he would do it. But let me ask you a question before I speak to him. What happens if the final 5 or 10 minutes of Shmon Esrei, he says, Rabbeinu Shalom, please send good health to my father. Rabbeinu Shalom, please send panosa berevach to my father. Please go and send nachas and send good simchas to my father and to my mother and to the whole family and to the whole shul and to everybody else, that my father should live a long life and he should be healthy and wealthy and happy. And do you want me to tell him he should stop right before that, right before those tefillahs, and that's where he should end the Shmon Esrei? No, Chas v'Shalom, he should say that as many times as possible. Fine, case closed, and he's still davening long Shmon Esreis, and he's still having in mind that his father should have arichas yom in good health. So we continue on with the Mishnah Baita.
It was before cell phones.
Of course.
Because if we had a cell phone, the father would have
been
just on a cell phone. It would have been a problem.
Exactly. Or smartphones, exactly. Okay, so the Mishnah. Mishnah Nithil Aroin, after the Aroin was taken away. Notice it doesn't say Nignaz. We learned yesterday that Rabbi Yoshio Amelech was the one that was Gonez, the Aroin Kodesh. It says it was removed. The Gemara is going to point that out as soon as we start the Gemara. So once the Aroin was removed from the Kodesh Kedoshim, instead, Evan Hoysisham, there was an Evan Shasia, which was there in the Mois of the Gim Rishonim. Already, Rashi says, from the times of David HaMelech and from Shmuel, it was already there. The Shasia Hoysa Nikos was called the Evan Shasia. We'll see in the Gemara tomorrow why. Kavoyim in Aretz, it was only sticking out from the ground, Sholish Shitzpois. In other words, it was very low. Valeh HaYanoisin, and that's where the Kohen Gadol would put down the Machta of the Ketoris, of the Machta of the Gecholim, to pour the Ketoris on. Notal Saddam, okay, so that's the end of that piece.
On the place where, even when the Aron was there?
Yes. So the Aron was over it. That was only sticking out 3 atzpos. But oh, you know, and on that, he would go and put down the Machta. Now, the Kohen Gadol has left, like we had in the previous Mishnah. And what does he do now? Not with the Dam, he took the Dam of Misha Hoyim Amaris Boy. Remember back a couple of Mishnahs ago, he gave it to a Kohen who was standing on the Roivet Horevi'i, who was holding the Mizrak with the Dam, and he was stirring it so it shouldn't become congealed. So then he went into the place. In other words, he went back into the Kodesh Kedoshim again with the Mizrak full of the Dam, and he stood in the same place where he was previously, where he was doing the Chafina of the Ketores and spilling it out onto the Mizrak, onto the Machta full of Gecholim. And now he starts spritzing from that Mizrak, Achas l'malah v'shev l'mata, one upwards and seven downwards. It's not like the Mizbeach, that you do one towards the top of the Mizbeach, and the other seven below the Chuta Sikra on the Mizbeach. No, Eleki Matzlif. What exactly is Matzlif? Rashi says, I really don't know. I don't even really understand what this Matzlif means exactly. I really don't know what the Loshen of Matzlif is. Now, we have this Gemara already before about Kematzlif. Where did we have this Gemara before? If you go back, I believe it was in the Yitzches Amar Aleph. Let's take a look at the Yitzches, and maybe it was somewhere else. Where the Gemara said also.
It's not the
Yitzches? Oh, you don't have the Gemara, I'm so sorry. But I'll be happy to share with you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it was more than Tesvav.
I think Tesvav
Amid Aleph. Tesvav Amid Aleph. Shkoyach. What would we do with that? So if you go to Tesvav Amid Aleph, you go to the last four lines of the Amid. He's in the Achzal Mal V'Shel Hamata. Kim Matzlif. My Kim Matzlif. Mechved of Yehuda. I'm three lines from the bottom of the Amid. Rav Yehuda says, Kim Man Gedana. What size? Kim Man Gedana. You have that? Three lines from the bottom. Zok Rashi. Kim Man Gedana. Keshliach Bezdin. Hamake Beretzua. Zu Lamata Mizu. When the Shliach Bezin was giving lashes, Tesvav.
No,
back to Rishon. Nothing happened. He's still got plenty of time. Yom Kippur is a few months away. So Tesvav Amid Aleph, three lines from the bottom. Kiman Gadna. That's the Shliach Bezin. That's the executioner, but he's not executing. But rather, he's the lash giver. Hamake Beretzua Zu Lamata Mizu. He gives first one lash at the top near his shoulders, and then one lower, and one lower, and lower, and lower. He does all the ones below. You don't give all 39 lashes in one spot, but you keep on going lower and lower. So Rashi once again says, I'm not sure where the word matzlif comes from. I know what matzlif means. It means that you go starting up and you go in a downwards trend. That I understand. Exactly what the Lashon Matzlif, both Rashi there and Rashi here says, not sure where the word comes from, what the shoresh of the word is. Fine. But that's what it means, that the Kohen Gadol first did one upwards direction, and then the next seven were lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. Not that he was focusing up and then down, it's just a trend of eight spritzes all together, starting up and going in a downwards formation. Okay. Zot the Mishnah Vayta. And this is what we have in Shemon Esri as well. Why did he say that after he only did one lamala and then the others would achashtayim sholish or lamata? We'll talk about that in Mitzvah tomorrow, as we'll see. Yotza, he left the Kodesh Kedoshim. The nichoy al kan hazov shebehechol. There in the hechol, outside the Kodesh Kedoshim, there was a kan. Kan means a base, like here of a kanoi. And on that base, probably like a short pedestal, he put down the blood of the par. And shnei levi'im is a sword. Now they brought him the sword. Shchotoy, and he shechted it. The kibbutz mizra kedoshim, he took the blood of the sword. And once again, nichlas l'makim shenichnas l'makim she'omad. Again, back into the Kodesh Kedoshim, same spot. V'yizrim min achas amal v'sheva l'mata. V'kacho yimoy na achas achas v'achas achas v'shtayim v'chuli. Yotzi, he left. V'nichal kan ha-zohav ha-sheni shebeheichel. Now he put down the soir blood, getting ready to go and spritz with the par blood, not lefnai v'lefnim, because he already did that, but now to go and spritz in the heichel itself, in front of the paroiches. And the Tanakhama says he put it down on a second kan, kan ha-sheni. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, lo yishem l'kan echad b'vod, there was only one kan altogether. Why? We had two separate mizrakim. Not the dam apar, v'nich dam asor. He put down the dam apar, and he took the dam asor. Exactly how this kan was configured, I'm not sure, because as Barry will remind us, the bottom of the mizrak
was pointed so the blood wouldn't congeal. You couldn't put it down flat, so it would unsettle.
We couldn't have the kohen gadol or the kahanim throughout the year forgetting the mizrak on the floor. So therefore, it wasn't flat; it was pointed. So how it fit on this kan? Maybe the kan also had some indentation,
like a cage or something. I've seen images where it shows like it's like a basket holding it from in the waist.
Perfect. Good. So that's how it was put down. So Rabbi Yehuda says you don't need two, because you never needed both to be lying there at one time. Not the dam apar, you picked the dam apar, but the dam asar, you put the dam asar down. So now he spritz in the direction of the paroiches. That's the paroiches that's mavdul between the kodesh and the kodesh kadoshim. And achas amal v'sheva l'matvali miskavim, but rather kimatz l'vakach imoina achas achas v'achas v'chuli. Not the dam asar. Sorry, but he nich dam apar. He now took the dam asar, put down the dam apar, and what did he do? He did the same thing again. These men are poroches. You can get the arm in bechutz again. Achas amav v'sheva l'mata. But he didn't do it. But kematzlif achas v'achas v'chuli, just like we had before. So therefore, he had four times eight altogether. Each time it was eight of the par b'fnim l'fnai b'fnim, eight of the sar l'fnai b'fnim, and then again in front of the poroches, eight of the par, and then eight again of the sorry, so four times eight is 32. We're not finished yet. Sorry, what he did after that was he mixed in the damapar into the Dam HaSoir, and then he poured from the Dam HaSoir into the Dam HaPar. In other words, he went back and forth. The reason is so that it should be, says Rashi, La'arvin Yofa, so that it should really mix very, very well. And then the Torah continues on, V'lokach midam apar umidam hasoir, and then he has to go and spritz in the direction of the Mizbeach. We don't get to that in this Mishnah, which we're going to get that in the future Mishnahis, but the point I'm just trying to bring out is, why does it tell us that he mixed the two dams together, that even though the two were together and mixed well, nevertheless, the Torah refers to it as Dam HaPar v'Dam HaSoir, and that's the makor for Rabbi Yehuda that holds min demina loy batel, because you have ain't Dam HaBatel Dam. Okay, Usan Mi'at Shem from the Gemara tomorrow. We're going to focus on that the Mishnah doesn't say Mishnah Nignaz, it says Mishnah Nittel, and we'll see what that means. Have a wonderful day. The way says argument, Zadkizim.